Welcome, everyone, to today's deep dive. We are thrilled to have you with us because today we are exploring a massive hidden gap in the AI world. And when I say massive, I mean it is really the single biggest differentiator between an AI agent that looks, you know, absolutely perfect in a controlled 5-minute demo.
Right, those flashy demos we see everywhere.
Exactly. The difference between that demo and an agent that actually survives contact with the messy, unpredictable real world. Our mission today is to figure out exactly why that gap exists, and more importantly, how the smartest engineering teams in the industry are actively bridging it.
It's a really critical conversation to have right now. If you spend any time online at all, you just see this endless stream of hype. But the reality inside the engineering trenches is often a very different, much more frustrating story.
It really is. To guide us today, we're digging into a fascinating, incredibly detailed internal developer document titled Agent Harness Complete Guide.txt. And it starts with a horror story that I think is surprisingly relatable for anyone who has even dabbled in building AI tools.
Oh, the 3 a.m. story. Yes.
Yes. Picture this. A development team builds a brand new AI agent. It absolutely crushes every single internal demo. It answers complex queries perfectly. It calls its tools in the exact right sequence. And the stakeholders are just blown away. So naturally, they deploy it.
Because why wouldn't you? It looks flawless.
Right. But then at 3 a.m. on a Tuesday, that exact same agent hits a real-world production environment. It encounters a slightly flaky external API, gets utterly confused, and gets stuck in an infinite retry loop. It just sits there, spinning its wheels, burning through $400 in API calls while the team is asleep.
And produces absolutely nothing useful.
Nothing. A $400 bill for zero output. Okay, let's unpack this, because the natural instinct is to blame the AI, right? To say the model hallucinated.
That is the instinct.
Hmm.
But what is truly crucial here is diagnosing the actual point of failure.
Yeah.
The model itself was fine. The initial prompt they wrote was fine. The failure was entirely an infrastructure failure.
Wait, hold on. So you're telling me a runaway bill wasn't a coding error in the prompt or a hallucination by the AI. It was an infrastructure oversight. How does that even happen?
It happens because the team threw a raw agent into the wild without a safety net.
Hmm.
The core problem was that an agent harness simply didn't exist. And this brings us to a central industry mantra right now, which is the model is commodity. The harness is moat.
The harness is moat.
Exactly. If we look at the trajectory we are on, if 2025 was universally considered the year of building agents, 2026 is undoubtedly the year of building the harness. The competitive advantage is no longer about having the smartest underlying AI model. Let's face it, everyone essentially has access to the exact same foundational models via API. The true advantage, your defensible moat, is entirely in the runtime infrastructure holding it all together.
And that infrastructure is what bridges the gap between the illusion of the demo and the harsh reality of production. Let's talk about the math behind why demos are so deceiving, because this completely changed how I view AI product launches.
The math is sobering, for sure.
It is. When you watch a polished demo on a stage, you see an agent do 2 or 3 things right. And your brain automatically assumes it can do 100 things right without breaking a sweat.
It's a totally natural human assumption, but it completely ignores the reliability math. Let's break it down from the guide. Suppose you build an agent, and at every individual step of a complex task, it has a 95% success rate.
Which sounds great.
In a vacuum, 95% sounds phenomenal. That's a solid A grade. But agents aren't built for single steps. They are designed to execute long, multi-step workflows. If you chain 20 of those steps together, where each step absolutely relies on the previous one succeeding, your end-to-end task completion rate plummets to just 36%.
36%. So you go from an A to a massive failing grade just by asking the agent to work a little bit longer.
Exactly. The compounding probability of failure is brutal. And this is the investment reality that companies are abruptly waking up to. Building the agent, writing a clever prompt, giving it a couple of basic tools, that is actually the easy part.
The fun part, even.
Right. But making it reliable over a 20-step process requires serious heavy-duty infrastructure. The guide cites some crazy examples. Manna spent 6 entire months and went through 5 complete architectural rewrites just focusing on their harness. LangChain spent over a year iterating through 4 distinct architectures.
That is a staggering amount of engineering time not spent on the AI itself, but on the room the AI lives in. And if you, listening right now, are ever wondering why two different teams using the exact same underlying model can see wildly different results, say one team has a 60% task completion rate and the other boasts a 98% completion rate, the secret isn't some magical hidden prompt. The secret is entirely in the harness they've built.
Exactly.
So let's get a really clear definition on the table. Without all the heavy technical jargon, what exactly is an agent harness?
At its core, an agent harness is the infrastructure layer that wraps around an AI model. Its job is to manage the model's lifecycle, its context window, its tool access, its verification steps, and its overall safety in a production environment.
Because the model is just a text generator.
Right. It looks at the text you give it, and it predicts the next most likely word. That's it. The harness is the system that decides what the model actually gets to see, what actions it is physically allowed to take, when it needs to stop, and what exactly happens when things inevitably go wrong.
I really love the analogy of horse tack for this. Mm. Think of a large language model as an incredibly powerful wild horse. It has enormous raw capability and muscle, but left entirely on its own, it has no sense of direction or purpose.
This raw power.
Yeah. The harness is the bridle, the reins, and the saddle. It doesn't provide the horsepower, the model does that, but it channels that raw power into controlled, useful, and directed work.
That is the perfect visual. And there's another framing from Phil Schmidt that the text brings up, which resonates really well with software engineers. He compares the AI model to a computer's CPU and the harness to the operating system.
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
All right, think about it. A CPU without an operating system is basically just a very expensive piece of silicon that gets hot. It has incredible potential, but it can't execute anything meaningful on its own. A model without a harness is just a demo.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though, because I hear a lot of confusion around this next point. People often confuse a harness with a framework. We hear about frameworks all the time, LangChain, CrewAI, things like that. But a framework is not a harness.
That is a vital distinction. Getting it wrong is extremely costly. A framework is the blueprint. It provides the libraries, the components, and the abstract building blocks you use to design an agent architecture. But the harness is the factory floor. It is the actual tangible runtime environment that governs how that blueprint physically executes in the real world.
Anthropic's Claude is the perfect illustration of this. You have the exact same Claude model weights powering their standard web chat interface, their terminal-based Claude code tool, and their massive enterprise API integrations. It is the exact same brain across all three.
But the behavior is radically different.
Completely different capabilities. And the only reason for that difference is the specific harness wrapping each implementation.
Precisely. And the mistake so many teams make is using a framework to design their agent's blueprint, and then skipping the harness phase entirely. They deploy the blueprint directly into production without building the factory floor to support it. And that is exactly how you end up with a runaway $400 API bill at 3 a.m.
So let's talk about how we stop that from happening. Let's walk onto that factory floor. The guide outlines the six core components of a production agent harness. I want to walk you through these pillars because this is where the real magic happens. This is how you get from a 36% success rate back up to the 90s.
It's all in the implementation of these six pillars.
Let's start with number one, context engineering. We constantly hear companies bragging about these massive 128,000 or 200,000 token context windows. As a user, it sounds like you can just dump an entire library of information, the whole history of the project, into the prompt, and the agent will just brilliantly figure it out.
It does sound like a silver bullet. Until your agent is actually 50 steps deep into a complex, multi-hour task, there is a specific, highly destructive failure mode called context rot.
Context rot.
Yes. What happens is, as the agent works, it naturally accumulates all this conversation history, the raw outputs from various tools, system errors, environmental noise. If you just leave the window open, eventually the agent loses track of its original goal. It literally drowns in irrelevant information and starts making decisions based on stale or confusing data.
So more data actually makes it dumber over time.
Exactly. Context engineering means you don't just dump data in and hope. You actively and ruthlessly manage it. The harness decides exactly what stays in the window, what gets summarized into a bullet point, and what gets completely dropped at every single step of the journey.
So we're actively curating its memory so it doesn't get confused. Which brings us to a similar problem with the second component, tool orchestration. Because the naive approach is to just give the agent a massive toolbox. You say, here are 50 different APIs, go figure out the problem.
Which reliably fails.
Yeah. Right. But why? Shouldn't a smarter AI benefit from having more tools at its disposal?
It's totally counterintuitive, but it fails because of something known as Vercel's paradox. The engineering team at Vercel ran deep experiments on this. They found that when they aggressively removed 80% of the tools available to their agent, they actually got measurably better, more reliable results.
Taking tools away makes it smarter.
Because giving an AI too many options just creates a massive probability surface for confusion. It leads to incorrect tool selections, hallucinated arguments, and ultimately failed tasks. Tool orchestration within a harness means dynamic scoping. The agent only has access to the three or four specific tools it absolutely needs for the exact phase of the task it is currently in.
And then it swaps them out.
Right. Once it moves to the next phase, the harness swaps the toolbox. It also manages argument validation, handles timeouts if a tool hangs, and sandboxes the execution so the agent can't break the system.
Limit the choices to increase the accuracy. Now, component number three deals with state and memory management. When you have agents running for hours on end, you can't afford for them to have sudden amnesia if a network connection drops.
Durable state is fundamental. Anthropic solved this beautifully with something called the progress file pattern. Instead of just relying on the raw, messy transcript of everything the agent has done over the last 2 hours, the harness forces the agent to maintain a highly structured scratch pad.
Like a running summary of its own work.
Exactly.
Yeah?
This scratch pad continuously records completed steps, current blockers, and planned next actions. So if the session unexpectedly drops and needs to resume, the agent doesn't have to reread a massive, confusing log of its own flailing. It gets a clean, compressed summary of its current state, and it picks right back up.
Okay, so we've given it a reliable save game state, but what happens if it confidently decides to do the wrong thing? How do we catch that? That brings us to component four, verification and safety. Out of everything we are looking at today, this is highlighted as the single highest impact pattern you can possibly implement.
What's fascinating here is the data backing this up. Teams have boosted their end-to-end task completion rates from 83% all the way up to 96%. Simply by adding structured verification loops.
Wow.
To be clear, they did not upgrade to a more expensive model. They did not rewrite their core prompts. They simply changed the harness to double check the work.
How does that actually work in practice?
Acts as a strict interceptor. Yeah. Before an agent's output is allowed to reach the real world, say, before it physically executes a generated script or sends an email, the harness intercepts it and verifies it. This catches silent failures.
And a silent failure is when it looks right, but it's broken.
Right. The agent proceeds with missing or hallucinated data, producing an output that looks totally plausible to a human glancing at it, but is functionally broken. Without verification, those silent errors compound step after step. The harness runs a quick test, and if it fails, it kicks it back to the agent with the error message and says, "Try again."
And speaking of outputs reaching the real world, that directly ties into the fifth component, human-in-the-loop controls. Because the prospect of an autonomous agent hallucinating an API call and permanently deleting a production database is terrifying.
It is the ultimate fear.
Right.
Which is why production harnesses require hard approval gates for high-risk operations. If the agent wants to delete data or execute financial transactions, a human has to click approve. But this introduces a massive design challenge known as calibration.
The calibration challenge, because if you put a human approval gate on every single tiny action, the agent just becomes a very annoying intern constantly tapping you on the shoulder. At that point, it's slower than just doing the manual work yourself. But if you have too few gates, you are inviting a catastrophic production incident. Finding that exact balance is a core job of the harness.
You want to trust, but actively verify the boundaries.
Which brings us to the final piece. Component six, lifecycle management. Now, this sounds like standard software infrastructure, health checks, graceful shutdowns, crash recovery. But how does a health check for an AI agent differ from a normal software health check?
It is much more complex. A standard server is either up or down. An AI agent can be perfectly up from a server perspective, but completely lost in a cognitive loop, repeating the same failed action over and over, or trapped in a hallucination. A harness health check actively monitors the agent's progress and intervenes if it detects those loops.
And the crash recovery aspect is tricky too, right? Because of state corruption.
Yes. State corruption is deeply problematic. Imagine you and a coworker are editing a shared document. You're making changes, but suddenly your internet drops.
Yeah.
While you are offline, your coworker moves a bunch of paragraphs around. When your internet comes back, if you just blindly paste in the sentence you were working on without looking at what changed, you were going to corrupt the document. The text won't make sense anymore.
Ah, I see. So the agent wakes up from a crash, assumes the world is exactly how it left it, and starts breaking things.
Precisely. The external world might have changed. A file it was editing might have been moved. If the harness doesn't perform what's called precondition validation, upon resuming, forcing the agent to check that the world is still in the state it expects, the agent will blindly execute its next step and corrupt its own work.
It is incredible how much rigorous engineering goes into everything surrounding the model. The AI is the flashy part, but the harness is doing all the heavy lifting. And there are two brilliant case studies in the guide that prove this point perfectly, from OpenAI and Anthropic.
The OpenAI example is just phenomenal.
It really is. Let's just sit with this statistic for a second. Over a five-month period, an engineering team at OpenAI wrote zero lines of application code manually. Zero. Instead, they focused entirely on building a harness, and their AI agents generated over 1 million lines of production code.
It represents a fundamental paradigm shift in how software engineering is done. The engineers stopped acting as typists, they stopped writing the raw application syntax themselves, and instead spent 100% of their time designing the boundaries, the constraints, and the verification loops of the harness.
They fed the model machine-readable artifacts, API contracts, strict constraint documents. They didn't even give the model the full code base to look at, just the exact boundaries it needed for a specific task.
And they relied on the harness to enforce it.
Completely. Because their verification loops were so strict, any code that failed was automatically rejected and sent back to the agent for a retry. The engineers didn't fix the code. They let the harness enforce the rules until the agent got it right. The harness literally became the product.
And Anthropic offers another incredible case study, specifically tackling that context rot issue we discussed earlier for long-running agents.
Yes, their solution is really clever, a two-agent architecture.
It solves the problem of a single agent slowly losing its mind in a sea of context. Instead of one monolithic agent trying to do everything, they split the harness's responsibilities. They use an initializer agent whose only job is to wake up completely fresh at the start of each session.
So it's never bogged down by old context.
Right. It reads that structured scratch pad, sets up the task context, and figures out exactly what single step needs to be done right now.
And then it passes the baton.
Exactly. It hands off clean, highly targeted, noise-free instructions to a separate coding agent that actually executes the specific work. Once the work is done, the coding agent dies. The progress is saved, and the cycle repeats. This constant refreshing entirely prevents the accumulation of noise.
So, what does this all mean for you listening right now? If you built a really cool demo agent using a framework over the weekend, and you are wondering how to make it actually survive the real world, you don't have an entire team of OpenAI engineers, where do you start?
The developers who wrote this guide actually provide a four-phase playbook for building a production harness from scratch.
Let's hear it.
The absolute most important piece of advice before you even look at phase one is setting your baseline expectations. Building a production-ready harness takes months, not days. You need to plan your engineering roadmap accordingly.
It's definitely not a weekend project. So phase one is to add verification loops. The guide is incredibly clear that this gives you the absolute best return on investment for your engineering hours. Don't worry about anything else until you have a system that automatically checks the agent's work before it is allowed to act.
Phase two is adding state persistence. And what's crucial to understand here is that this isn't just about reliability. It's about hard cost savings. Implementing checkpoint resumes cuts token costs during failures by a massive 30 to 50%.
That's huge.
Think about it. When an agent fails at step 19 of a 20-step process, you don't want to pay the API cost to regenerate steps 1 through 18 all over again. You resume from step 19.
That immediately pays for the time spent building it. Now, phase three is observability. You need to instrument execution traces for every single tool call. You have to know exactly what the agent is doing under the hood, or you'll never be able to debug it when it inevitably hallucinates.
And finally, phase four is adding those critical human-in-the-loop controls for high-risk actions. This phased approach is designed to prevent you from being overwhelmed. You start by preventing bad outputs from escaping, then you save costs on inevitable failures, then you gain visibility into the black box, and finally, you secure your most critical boundaries.
It's an absolute masterclass in AI infrastructure. Looking back at our journey today, we started with a 3 a.m. disaster, a $400 API bill caused by an incredibly capable agent running wild without a safety net. And what we've uncovered is that the competitive advantage in artificial intelligence has fundamentally shifted.
It has. It has moved away from the foundational model itself and squarely onto the runtime infrastructure. The harness is what takes AI from a parlor trick to something actually useful.
Which brings us to a really fascinating conclusion.
It raises an important question, something really worth pondering for anyone involved in technology today.
Yeah.
If the AI model itself is truly just a commodity now, an interchangeable CPU that anyone can rent for fractions of a cent, and the harness is the actual defensible moat, what does this mean for the future of AI development?
That is the million-dollar question. Where's the real value?
Consider this dynamic. If a small team can achieve a 98% task completion rate using an older, much cheaper AI model simply because they wrapped it in an elite custom-built harness, the dynamics of the entire tech industry change. Perhaps the real winner of the AI race won't be the massive corporation that spends tens of billions of dollars building the smartest, most gigantic brain. Perhaps the ultimate winner will be the scrappy team that figures out how to build the absolute best bridle.
The smartest brain versus the best bridle. I absolutely love that thought. It completely flips how we think about where the true value lies in AI right now. Well, that is all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the world of agent harnesses. We hope it gave you a completely new lens through which to view the AI tools you use every day, and maybe even the ones you were planning to build. Keep questioning those demos, keep exploring the infrastructure, and keep learning. Catch you next time.